The Bird Show.
We have been talking to Abigail here. I'm not even exactly sure what to ask you guys to call in for. I don't even know that Abigail was calling up for advice. She was just really laying a story to us that she'd been going out with this guy for a while, and they've been intimate with each other, and she just thinks it was completely irresponsible of him not to tell her that he had genital herpes before they had any kind of intimate relationship. And I don't know who could argue with that.
Right. I think, it's incredibly fit. But maybe it's good to bring up the topic because it is your personal responsibility. If you do have some kind of chronic condition that you could pass on to someone else, then it is your responsibility to tell them what they're getting into long before the opportunity to pass it on to them. I mean, because that is so offensive.
Now, What Abigail has told us is that she's split from the guy. She's like, I don't want any part of this. Too much drama. He wasn't honest with me. We got some people calling up saying, wait, you're being too harsh.
Because he wants them to stay together.
Right.
So he's still pursuing her to stay in the relationship.
Jesse, you're on Q100.
Hey, Brett, how are you?
Good. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Awesome. Okay. I didn't want to say that she should stay with him because I think it's really shady that he didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to tell you is I actually have genital herpes. And I found out after dating my boyfriend for about 5 weeks, because it takes about 5 weeks before you get the first outbreak. And when I found out, I went to him and I was like, hey, is there something you didn't tell me? And he was like, no, honey, I promise. You know, and I believed him because, you know, he's a very sincere guy, and he was just as shocked as I was about the whole thing. Turns out he had had his first outbreak, went to the doctor, and they didn't catch it. They didn't test him for that. They just gave him some antibiotics and sent him on his way. So,
can you believe that story?
I'll say this. You have to request for a genital herpes test because they draw blood, and you have to give them permission to draw your blood.
And what exactly?
I do believe it because I actually talked to his doctor. Because we went back to get him retested for it, and he's like, oh, well, we didn't test him for it last time because it didn't look like an actual outbreak. It looked like something else, so we gave him the antibiotic. That's the only reason I actually believe it, because believe me, I was. It sounded sketchy to me.
Is it just like a pimply-type deal? Like razor burnish?
Like a blister. It's really, like it really blister? Sucks. I'll tell you that, and I never wish it upon anybody.
There's just
and
one?
And if he had the audacity to go about sleeping with her without, you know, without telling her, that's rude. So definitely you should leave him for that. But I'm just saying to the people who, you know, find out that they have it and then, you know, the person who gave it to you is genuinely surprised and maybe go talk to their doctors if, you know, they said they've been tested before.
Do you
get
it?
19 years. In fact, he knew he had it because he got it from an ex-girlfriend that he's actually still friends with. I've met her. And the odd thing is that he was married before and, you know, obviously they didn't use protection before they got married. Their marriage lasted 14 months, and when he told her he had it, it's after she called it from him and had an outbreak.
That's horrible.
And I think that in itself
says
a lot about someone's character and integrity. Now, everybody makes mistakes, you know, and everybody makes poor judgments at times. But if you know you have something and you continually have relationships with people and you don't tell them about this, it's pretty wrong and pretty immoral, and you're putting, it's something that stays with you for the rest of your life. Now, had he had told me at the beginning, I could have made an educated decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would have stayed with him. I don't know if I would have broken up with him. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because he lied, and he knew that he had it, and he deliberately chose not to tell me, even though we used protection, and even that my doctor said it's not 100% because there's a lot of body fluids that are exchanged, and just even the touching of, you know, the top of your genitals to someone can give that to you.
Yeah, and I think the key word you said earlier was criminal, you know, because I do agree with that. My sister had a friend who... two friends who got married, and one of the reasons that their relationship was strong is because they each had herpes. Like, they actually
their
started dating.
Herpes brought them together.
Yeah, I mean,
beautiful.
Because there's some people that will only date somebody that has herpes if they have
isn't
it, so they don't go through this.
Isn't there a
I told him there was a website for people with STDs. He should go on that dating website.
So they don't have the self-consciousness of what they have and have to have that awkward conversation. If they know the other person has it, then that's not an issue.
Do you only catch that when the other person is having an outbreak, or as soon as you have sex, you're pretty much, you got it? Do you know?
I don't know.
Do you know, Abigail?
Know. I'm assuming outbreak, obviously, but I don't know about
the point
non-outbreak.
Of this. Like the point, we're debating the herpes and the severity of it and how it's caught and transmitted, whatever. The point of this is he lied about having
it. Oh, absolutely.
To her, and it's like it's common courtesy. If any one of us walks in here if we come in, because now we have the rule that if we even have half of a cough, the rule is that we call in sick or be glared at the entire
because we're in an airtight studio.
Because the germs just sit on top of all of us. Like, we've, you know, our intern staff, we've sent them home or at least out of the room for being sick. It's common courtesy if you have something where it could spread to someone else, especially like working with Bert. Like, if I had a cold.
But when you French kiss, you need to know. Right. Because you often the morning that way.
Because then he'll take it home and give it to one of his kids, and then it'll be trapped in his house until the kid turns 18.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, the difference with this is that, you know, some of these are chronic conditions like herpes where you have it and you will always have it. You know, so much more severe than a cold. And then there are worse STDs that could take your life.
But that's what I'm saying about the common courtesy is when you have something as insignificant as a cold.
If you come in for a hug for me and I have a cold, I'll say to you, "Wait, you don't want to do that. I have a cold."
Exactly. Right. No.
Bed together, you don't want to go there because I've got genital herpes. But
hey, this may kill the mood.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's something I got to show you.
Good morning, Allison. You're on Q100.
Hey, yeah. I have a friend who was recently diagnosed with herpes, and that's kind of like a tragic story in itself, just because she got it from the guy that she lost her virginity to at a one-night stand.
Oh no!
She has been game on since day one.
She's only ever been with three people, and like the third person she was one of my best male friends. And so he was flipping out, and he was just like, "Oh God, I might have something." But like, it turns out that she obviously got it from him, and he's claimed that he doesn't have it, he never had it, and she's a whore because she's sleeping around.
Oh wow, the very first time.
And so like, when she was telling me about it, like she like was like, "She's like, well, you are aware that if he gets it, he's probably not going to talk to you anymore." And she's just like, "Well, what are you saying? He's going to hate me for the rest of my life?" And I was just like, "Well." Yeah, you kind of gave him something uncurable. I mean, that's going to affect the rest of his life. So you have to understand that even though you didn't do it on purpose, he's going to be upset about that. And she just couldn't take that and, like, flipped out on me and was, like, screaming, like, I see who my real friends are. And I was like, "I'm not saying I don't want to talk to you. I'm just saying you can't be mad at him if he doesn't want to talk to you."
Sure. Abigail, let me ask you this because I'm sure you've done the research on it. Have you found out if you can press charges in a case like this?
I've actually kind of looked around, but I didn't contract it from him. But the only thing that I could do is I could go. He's a dentist, and I wasn't his patient. He had it before he got his license. The only thing I could do is I could possibly report it, and I could, you know, file a complaint. I don't want to ruin the guy's career, but I don't want. I think that it's completely unfair that any potential person he would date, he probably wouldn't tell them. And I think, I don't know what it is that I can do. In fact, my friend just text messaged me on my Miami cell phone. It just came in after, I guess, 2-hour delay. And she said that there's actual a posting about him on Craigslist under the general community in Miami. I haven't had a chance to look at it because I'm in the Bahamas and, you know, my air card is, you know, my internet connection is here and there and everywhere. So, but I don't know if that itself is going to fix it. I don't know who would have done that other than the ex-girlfriend that, you know, sent me the text message. I mean, this is a recent event, so.
Wow.
You can put him up on that do not date list.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it sure seems, I know you don't want to ruin the guy's career and everything, but if he's done this to you, he's done this to a slew of other women over the last 20 years.
I mean, his ex-wife,
God sake, she was a lawyer. She quit. It was so devastating to her that she had a mental breakdown because she couldn't believe, and she was South African as well, she couldn't believe that he would risk her. I mean, they took a vow. He would risk her health and put her, expose her, and not tell her. And that's not, it's not just like she's the only one.
Holy
I know of
crap.
A couple of, I know of at least three people that I said, okay, if you want to even continue trying to move forward, and I kind of tricked him. I said, okay, we can work this out, but there are conditions. Number one, you have to tell everyone you slept with before me that you have genital herpes. They have to have the right to know so they can go get tested.
Hey, Abigail, they got a picture of him up on Craigslist.
Yeah, we're all looking at his picture right now up on Craigslist.
Are you serious?
Totally serious.
Is he got black hair?
He sure does. Kind of a broad guy?
He's about, well, The funny thing is, he told me he was 5'11". He's not 5'11". He's barely 5'10". You know, maybe even just 5'9". But
it's gotta be.
Yeah,
him.
He's kind of broad and he's got big arms and you know,
that's
he's
him.
Got kind of a big nose.
Yeah. It says man's name. It's,
no offense, Bert. I'm sorry. He's doing nothing.
Just because you have a big nose doesn't mean you have genital herpes. I just want
everybody
to know that.
No, but, I mean, it's actually, I actually like his nose because he's, you know.
Hey, Abigail, it gives his name, and then it says, a local dentist here in Miami knowingly had genital herpes when he and I engaged in sex.
Oh, damn.
He is a 46-year-old man who has had herpes for several years. He waited until after we were broken up to let me know. Now I have it too. In all caps, beware of this man. It was posted at 1 o'clock this morning.
I absolutely think it's justifiable to post something like that online
because
he's a serial herpist.
Yeah, I
don't know. I think it's okay to post his picture.
Yeah,
yes.
His picture's up there.
I absolutely think it is.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well,
send us the link.
It is an interesting debate in the future about criminal charges for people who pass on serious illnesses to other people.
I'd be surprised.
I know his dental website address. So.
Well, you've got plenty to add to that website. I'd be seriously surprised if this wasn't already a court case.
It has to be because,
he's a repeat offender.
Yeah.
Hey, Abigail, thank you for spending some time with us. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much for helping me, you guys. I mean, I love your show. You guys are wonderful. And, you know, thank God I have sometimes I get an internet connection so I can listen to you when I'm traveling.
Thank you so much.
The Bert Show.
So we were just talking to Allison, who said it's all lined up. It's just a formality at this point.
Yeah, she's going to get married. They've already got a wedding date. They've got the church book, the reception plan. She's coming to Filene's and getting in a little bit early to find her wedding dress. But they're not officially engaged yet because they're going through some sort of pre-engagement counseling.
So my question is this. Has anybody done the same thing? And then after you met with the counselor or the priest or whatever, you just decided this is never going to work. Just 3 days ago, we thought we were perfect for each other and I don't even know who you are. Good morning, Stephanie. You're on Q100.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I went through these classes. We actually had our wedding planned in Germany. His family were German, so we had all this planned. Actually went through the classes, and I knew immediately, oh, my God, this is never going to fly. So we went ahead and got married, and we're divorced in 8 months.
Oh. So what was it about the counseling that made you feel like this is so not right?
Well, they take you to, I mean, you go to, I don't even remember exactly where we were. It's been, you know, several years ago. But we had to spend the night, and, you know, you sleep in separate rooms, and they do, like, all-day classes, and they give you all these different tests and just different questions on what you agree on about how to raise family. And it's just a very intense two-day thing, and I just knew that we had a lot of very different views. So,
and none of that was discussed before you went in there?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We lived together for 4 years, so we kind of thought
wow.
We knew. I mean, when you're with someone that long, you think you know what's going on. But
sure.
Apparently we didn't because it didn't go over so well.
So what, I'm just curious, like the specifics, like what kind of ways to raise a family? Like was it like a spanking conversation or was it like a religious difference?
It was more religious, I think.
More religion.
Yeah. He was Catholic and I was Baptist, so I was actually going to convert, and you know, nothing against them. It just wasn't the way I was raised, so it was kind of weird for me. I backed out of the whole thing, and I kind of freaked out at the end there.
Okay.
And could you sort of like slowly feel during the whole sessions that it was slipping away?
Absolutely.
And so there really didn't have to be just one person approaching the other one. You just both sort of knew that this is never going to work.
Yeah, I think we both knew that. But like I said, we had so much planned, and it was in Germany. I mean, all my family, we'd already bought tickets. You know, we were going. It was done, and we never in a million years dreamed that we were not going to really like each other after it was over.
I bet, right?
I am so fascinated that you lived together for 4 years, went through counseling, and that was almost like the catalyst, and then marriage was so different, you know?
Really,
I'm fascinated by that.
We lived together. We were in Florida, in St. Pete, and I don't know. We had a lot of friends. We were always doing fun stuff. And, you know, life was pretty much a big party, I guess. And then when we moved here to Georgia, it was, you know, we didn't have our friends. And it was really just him and I. And we really, I guess, didn't know each other at all. So it was pretty disappointing.
Wow. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
No problem. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Stacey and I, it wasn't necessarily pre-marriage counseling, but we went to a place in Dallas where we took different personality tests, and it was specific for marriage, telling you who was strong in what area, who was weak in the other area. So you go into the relationship knowing, for instance, who the spender is, who the saver is. Unfortunately, we're both spenders. And you can just identify them before you get into the marriage. And I think it did help us.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't change anything, but it sure did identify it.
Right.
Good morning, Q100.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Ann Margaret.
What's going on, Ann Margaret?
How are you?
Good. I love a double name.
Southern. I know.
I love it.
Let me guess, you're from the South.
I'm very much from the South.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our neighbor is Mary Charlotte.
I love yep. that.
Isn't that
yeah.
great? What's up?
We actually went to premarital counseling, and the counselor told us not to get married.
Why?
We had gone, my husband had been married before, so he felt like we needed to do this just to kind of get anything out in the air that needed to be, just in case. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we set up this premarital counseling, got a reference through our church, only went a couple times, and I felt like the counselor just wanted to kind of get to know us. So we spent a couple sessions the first session we talked about me and my family and my background. The second session we talked about him and his family and his background. And so then the third session we go in and we just had an argument about the invitations. And so we went into the session. She goes, what guys want to talk about today? And we said, well, actually, we've just had an argument about the invitations. You know, what's your take on it?
Now, did you say, actually, we'd like to speak about the invitations? Or did somebody say, yeah, I'll tell you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the GD guy invitations, and I want to talk about calligraphy versus just regular block print. Anybody else want to talk about that?
Well, basically, we kind of just looked at each other, and we were like, well, actually, we just had an argument. We want your take on it. And so we went through the whole deal about it, and, you know, we were both very calm, and she pauses really long, and she's like, honestly, I just don't think you two need to get married. And we're like both shocked. We're like, really? We just had an argument about the invitations. It's not like we hate each other or anything. And so then she goes into this whole thing about, he doesn't have a stable job and I'm not going to have a stable job and we're going to get a divorce in 6 months. So we just need to hold off on our wedding. And I'm 6 months prior to getting married to this guy. And so I just cry the whole hour. And then we walk outside and I go, do you still love me? And of course he said yes. And I said, will you still marry me? And of course he said yes. And we never went back.
And you're still married now?
We've been married a year and a half, and everything's just peachy. And we got the invitations that we wanted. So it's bizarre.
Maybe her tactic, was it a she or a he?
It was a she.
Maybe her tactic was, that's how marriages work. Like, to make you so defined. Oh, you don't think we're going to be able to get married? Oh, we can still get married. I don't think you should get married because, you know what? He's in an unstable job. You're not going to get a job. You're going to be divorced in 6 months. Who cares? And probably has a better success rate of marriage in her clients because she makes them mad.
It's not that uncommon, right? Rebecca, what's up?
Hey.
Hi.
I'm just calling to say that, yeah, we had to go through the premarital. It's required for Catholics to even be considered being married. And, we had an okay time with it. I mean, my counselor wasn't like really just saying that we shouldn't get married or anything. Mm-hmm. But they also told me that 40% of the people that come in end up not getting married by the end of it.
Wow.
40%?
I don't know how accurate that is, or they're just trying to scare you. But that seemed like an awful high number. So
that does
seem like
high.
Okay. I mean, they have you take a test, and it's, there was a couple options you could do, but we just did the 1 day, 8 hour thing. And, but it is amazing how much you don't know. I mean, I've been together with my fiancé for 6 years, living together for most of it before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And there was still stuff. I'm like, really?
Like one example. I'm curious what comes out. After you've been living together for 6 years, what could possibly be the topic that would make you think, hey, I didn't know that about you?
I mean, you would think these big things like religion and children, like you think, oh, well, we talked about it. And we have. But I don't know if it's through the years you kind of change your mind on things, but then like all of a sudden you just realize, oh, really? You don't want to be here? Because we just moved and mm-hmm. he didn't want to have kids here. And I'm like, really? And and it's just like, I guess it's things that you within the first year of someone meeting someone, you talk about it, but then it kind of gets pushed back because it's like, oh, well, we already talked about it. But
okay.
then.
But
throughout the years, you just realize, oh, well, that's probably changed.
Okay. Well, I can understand the changing part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that some things like religion become more important as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
When you're young and love and first met, you're like, oh, that won't matter.
Right. But then, especially if you want to build a family, that's when religion usually starts stepping up again. Because you usually start arguing about how you want to raise your kids then.
All right, here's last call. Melissa, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I went to premarital counseling, and that ended in January, and they told us not to get married.
Was there one thing that they were pointing to, or was it just a whole bunch of incompatibility?
We went through it through the church, and I'm actually Buddhist, and we've known this from the get-go that we're spiritually different.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically told me that I was part of a cult religion and that I really had
horrible.
No business marrying a Christian.
Wow.
Wow, a cult religion.
That's bold.
You think
Isn't there more Buddhists around the world than Christians?
I'm not sure, honestly. I mean, it's not as prevalent in the United States, but...
I think it's a close second.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah...
Huh. I mean, I certainly wouldn't consider it a cult.
No.
Of course not.
Yeah, and I go to church with him, and, you know, I read the Bible with him to be, you know, as supportive as I can, and I still want to learn a lot about it, but they didn't care.
Wow.
So, and everything's fine now.
Yeah, we're getting married, actually, a week from Friday.
Are you having one of those cultish Buddha weddings?
No, I'm very open, and, you know, weddings aren't as important to me. So I, you know, was doing the wedding because he wanted it. So we're pretty much doing a Christian wedding, and I'm fine with that.
I think it's, see, I didn't realize that the counselor could, like, be the judge and jury at the end of the thing. I thought that they sort of, like, asked you the questions and put them in front of you, and you sort of, like, made up your own mind. This is the first time I've ever heard a counselor's actually going, this is never going to work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They make recommendations because what they do at the end of the counseling is they tell you on what and where you should work. Like you said, you and Stacey are both... spenders, so he probably said during that meeting, all right, you guys got to watch it. Like, somebody's going to have to get better at keeping a budget, or else y'all are going to be in debt in 5 years or whatever, right? So he says that, but that's one red flag. But then let's say you want 6 kids and Stacey wanted none. And let's say you thought you and Stacey should both work, but she thought the man took care of the family. Eventually, enough of those flags is up, but the guy's like...
Writing's right here.
He can tell you to keep a budget and talk about the kids and... But then eventually he's like, out of fingers.
Yeah.
He's like,
writing's on the wall.
Just don't do it.
Get it. The Burt Show.